listener production.
I'm Katie Williams, and this is Better For It, helping you and I become the best versions of ourselves one week at a time. I want to inspire each of us to think differently about our health and our lifestyle habits and make positive changes to our lives. I'm going to ask the questions that we all want to know the answers to so we can work on our health together. Today, I'm joined by the beautiful Julianne Kelly. She's a kinesiology coach, human design specialist, and she specializes in emotional repatterning and clearing your energetic blocks in business and in relationships so you can live a life in alignment. Thank you so much for coming on.
Hi, Katie. So good to be here.
This episode is how to harness the power of your subconscious mind. So today we're going to deep dive into subconscious mind, and then I'm going to ask Julianne some questions that you guys sent in on Instagram. And then at the end, I'm going to give you some recommendations for a reading, watching, and listening to in the energetic space. So every episode I start with a health check-in. And because this episode is about our energetic health, we're going to start with that one first. So out of 10 energetically, I would say I'm feeling about a 7. I've got a bit of anxious energy, bit of nervous energy. My brother's wife is in labor. There's a baby coming. I've come back from a holiday. It's a bit frenetic, but I'm excited. Physically, I'm feeling an 8. And mentally and emotionally, I'd say I'm feeling about a 7. Once again, big week ahead, lots of exciting energy. I'm not very grounded, but that's why we've got you into the studio today. Let's throw to you. How are you feeling out of 10?
Beautiful. Well, I'm feeling about a 9 out of 10. I do an energetic check-in and clear with myself every day. So if anything's not in alignment, I check in and clear it. My physical is probably the one that would rate the lowest. I've been a little bit slack with training because my husband's been overseas recently and just find the time to get away. So I'd say it's probably at a 6 or 7, plus I'm on the first day of my period, which
might be TMI
for some people, but
same.
But yeah, that always affects my physical sensations. You know, I always feel a bit bloated. The final one is more mental and emotional.
Mental and emotional. We've tied it together.
Yeah. I'd say I'm good. But probably not fully switched on. There's a lot going on. So maybe around an 8.
Yeah. I think 8's great.
Yeah.
Strong scores.
It is.
Strong scores.
Yeah.
I can't wait for this episode. This is something that I think so many people need to learn about and will get so much value out of. So before we go any further, I want to talk to you about what the subconscious mind actually is.
Good question, right off the bat. So the first thing I always like to talk about is the mind and the brain are separate things. The brain is like the physical thing in our head. Our mind is how we structure how the brain works in relation to our bodies. And it takes a lot of energy for the brain to function. It takes a lot of energy for our mind to function. So to conserve energy, it automates a lot of the things that need to be done so that we don't have to think about it all the time. And so the subconscious is the part that takes responsibility for all of that. And that can be how our body functions, from allowing our heart to beat, allowing our food to digest, moving our muscles. We decide we want to go somewhere, we're just off there. We don't have to think about how to move those muscles. So the subconscious takes control of all of that. It also looks after our survival responses, so fight or flight. And it's also the part that maintains most of our learned behavior and our habits. And that's the part that I'm always most interested in, because we think we are conscious beings functioning at a really high conscious level, and that is what's driving the boat. But actually, the subconscious runs about 95% of what happens on a daily basis within our lives.
It's actually wild.
Yeah. 95% is huge. Like we think the thoughts that we think every day that we are aware of are the parts that are running the story and running our lives. And it's not really true. It's the ones that just happen automatically that are the ones running the show. So this is where we start to look at what are the things that we think we want versus what are the things that are actually showing up in our lives.
So how does our subconscious mind affect us in a both positive and negative way without us even realizing it? Like, we're so ruled by our subconscious mind. How do we know when it's doing us good or doing us bad?
Yeah. Well, I mean, in the primary function, it's always doing us good, right? Because it's keeping us alive. The way that we really know if our subconscious is serving us is when we consciously decide that we want something. So we set a goal, we set an intention, maybe in any area of our lives. And no matter how hard we try to achieve it or move towards it, it feels difficult or something gets in the way or we sabotage ourselves, which means we don't see the goal through to the end. Something gets in the way and then we use it as an excuse. What happens when we set a goal that falls outside our subconscious understanding of how the world works? It will bring up all the reasons why we can't have that thing, right? And if we're not working through those or even understanding that they are there, then achieving that goal becomes much more difficult and we have to recruit a lot more energy, self-belief, self-empowerment to actually achieve it. So if you're setting goals in your life and they feel almost impossible, or you get them and then as soon as you've got them, you start to move backwards, then there's probably some subconscious beliefs there that are not working in your favor. And then likewise, you can look at the other areas and say, why is this so easy for me? Like, why are relationships so easy for me, but I have an issue with my body? Why am I so like super fit? Like the idea of not exercising my body is so foreign to me, but yet I can't seem to get my, you know, self together around my money. It will often show up in like one or two particular areas. And there's probably an unconscious belief there that's running, that's not in alignment with the thing that you want.
So an example is, from my perspective, when I was super fit and training really hard, I ended up unwell in hospital, chest infections, sinus infections, ended up bronchiolitis, really bad lungs, and I couldn't go to world titles. This has been a part of my story forever that I need to clear and yeah, I definitely need to clear it. It's trauma. And that shows up in my life now. And I know it's all subconscious because when I start training and start exercising, I see my body change, I start to get really fit, I start to get really lean, I notice sabotagey behaviors coming in like I used to. And I notice it with food or making excuses or perhaps, you know, indulging in too much alcohol or drinking, because I almost won't let my body get super lean like I was, because subconsciously that takes me to a place of injury, fatigue, sickness, sadness. It takes me to a darker place. So those, you know, subconscious patterns or a sabotage actually comes in and takes over without me fully realizing. And it's actually wild. That is such a, you know, big example of how the subconscious can take over, because it is inhibiting my goals. I want to get super fit and super lean again, but I know that there's all these energetic blocks around it.
Mm, yeah. So those memories and those, I would call that an anchor. And it essentially what's happened is more than once you've had an experience where getting that lean equaled getting sick and being fragile or being vulnerable is probably a word that's closer to the energy of it. And if being lean equals being vulnerable and sick, then you're subconscious, which wants to keep you safe, is going to avoid doing that. And so what I would work on with you, which we probably will work on, or with anybody else who came in with similar style of pattern in any area of their life, is finding out what are the emotional anchors that are stored in the physical body. We think memories are all stored in the mind. They're not. They're stored in our energetic and physical body, which is why I work with the body and the mind. And we release those so that being lean doesn't have to equal being sick. That's essentially what the brain does. It goes, oh, this equals this. And so if we mean this can equal a whole series of possibilities, it might equal vitality and aliveness and feeling sexy and, you know, just excitement. If we can allow other possibilities to come in as to what's connected to that, then staying at that level of fitness and staying aligned with the goal that you really want becomes so much easier.
And it becomes a positive.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because the fear and going into survival mode depletes the body of energy and moves you away from the goal.
Are there any other examples that you work with clients around these subconscious blocks, and for our community at home that might also have these subconscious blocks?
Hundreds. So there's lots of possibilities of what it could mean for a specific person. And it is, each of us are unique, but the areas that I predominantly work with are business, money, relationships. So a pattern that I've noticed a lot recently, for example, is business people thinking when they start their business that you don't get what you want in life without hard work, right? And essentially, as just a statement within itself, there's an element of truth to that, right? But if you lock that in as success equals I can't rest, otherwise if I rest, I'm lazy, then where is your holistic balance in life? Where's the reward for all the hard work? It creates a space where you can't actually get to enjoy it. It also shows up in relationships where we know the type of partner that we want to be in relationship with. Open communication, somebody who makes us feel seen and loved. And yet a client may find themselves repeatedly in a relationship with somebody who isn't expressive, is avoidant around talking about anything that may be an issue in the relationship, and is avoidant to commitment. So there's obviously a misalignment there that they don't believe they're worthy of really receiving that. So it can show up in lots of different places.
So if the subconscious belief is they're not worthy of love, or they can't make money without working hard, subconscious, they don't realize this being subconscious, then it will show up in the conscious world in every way because you're running that pattern.
Absolutely. So when we set a goal and then we start to move towards it, we want to look at where are we not fully in alignment with that goal by looking at the results that we're actually getting, rather than the goal, the results that we want to be getting. Say, oh, I'm on my way. We need to constantly at each stage look at, well, what's showing up? What is this reflecting back to me about where I'm playing small, where I'm settling for a relationship or love that just actually doesn't feel like enough? Where am I saying I want to be fit and then pressing snooze on the alarm every morning and not getting out and going to the gym? Yeah, like buying the membership but not actually going. So we want to look at our behaviors, because our behaviors, it's like a road backwards, we'll always behave in the way that's in alignment with our values, and our values are in alignment with our subconscious.
For our community listening, would we be able to jump into some subconscious blocks or limiting beliefs that they might have as well, or some that you're working through with your clients?
Absolutely. So when we use the word blocks, a block can be exactly that, a limiting belief, a story that you tell yourself that is the reason why you can't have the thing that you want to have, right? So it can show up, for example, around money. Like, I can't earn over a certain amount. You need to have a degree to earn more money. You need to have wealthy parents in order to start a business. Men earn more than women. It can be things like you go to save. I can't enjoy my life if I have to put money to the side all the time. Yeah, I am not able to have nice things if I start to save my money. And then you just find yourself in spending patterns that in a year or 5 years from now, even if you'd put 5% of your salary away, it just starts to become automatic and you have a pool of money that you can then do something with. But when we tell ourselves a story, oh, it's not 5%, it's not enough to make a difference, we don't even start.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So it can be around relationships. It can be like, I'm sure everyone's heard this, there's no good man left. Mm. All the good men are already married. Men just are after one thing. Women, you know, are too demanding. Women are too high maintenance. And yet what we're looking for is a relationship. We're looking for love. But we're telling our brain to look for evidence that there are no good men. They only want sex. Men don't care about me, right?
Oh, these are such good examples. Now that we've spoken about what some of the blocks are, can you please explain how people clear these blocks so that they can live a happier, more free life and a life that is in alignment with them?
So with the work that I do, I work with mapping that within the body. So if how we feel about something carries an energetic frequency, it will affect the body. And we store those or hold on to them in our body. And the work that I do helps to map that, figure out what are the emotions that we've anchored to this experience, and then connecting to it through breath and intention and also rubbing acupressure points, we release it from the body. But we also work with the mind because the conscious mind does have choice, and we can educate ourselves, we can read books, we can understand how we maybe came to that place. So a lot of change actually starts with understanding where we are. Where do we actually want to be? And then paying attention to removing what feels in the way of getting there.
You and I did a session recently over Zoom, and some of the emotions that were stored in my body were shame, guilt, embarrassment. Some of them were attached to family members. Some of them were attached to moments in my life. These were trapped in my body and showing up in ways of self-sabotage in my life. So for me to reach my full potential, we have to clear out some of the baggage and the emotional trauma and the gunk that's holding me back. I've got lots of blocks, ones that I'm still not aware of, ones that I am aware of. And when we sat down, we did the tapping on the clavicle, we did different parts of the body working through the chakras to see where that is stored. Since that, I feel lighter, more aligned, now so aware of what my blocks are. Now I can consciously choose, do I want to self-sabotage in this element here? Do I want to people please and then in turn spend too much money because I felt bad I missed that person's birthday? So I'm now aware of all of these I say toxic traits. They're not toxic, but things that aren't serving me. So it's like you've got to go within and strip back, peel back the pieces like an onion for you to get to your true self and for then you to make conscious choices for how you want to live your life.
Yes, absolutely.
Is there ways of identifying your subconscious blocks through meditation, journaling, Vipassana? Or do you think that in order to identify your subconscious blocks, you do need to do that with a coach?
I think you can start to identify the areas and the themes on your own. Like journaling is a good way. Breath work is a good way. Getting to the core of it can be difficult, really difficult on your own.
Without a coach. Mm. So what does life in alignment actually look like?
So I would say life in alignment is experiencing life from a place where at least 80%, ideally 90% of the time, you love and are nourished by the activities, that the friendships, the conversations, the experiences that you are participating in. And we can engage with life consciously and be really clear about the things that we want to achieve and how we want to show up and what sort of friendships we want to call in and relationships we want to call in. Or we can be in unconscious reaction and kind of just tumble our way through life reacting to what's being served up. And a life in alignment is about getting really clear, like I mentioned before, what do I want to experience in this life? If I could choose anything, what would it be? That's like the simplest place to start to get yourself in alignment. Because if you're not lit up by what you're doing, you're probably living somebody else's story about what life should look like.
Well, living, you know, maybe a parent's dream, you know, which is what exactly. So many of us do. How can I tell if my life is not in alignment? And what signs might I be feeling in the body, physically, emotionally, energetically?
So if you do a life assessment and think, what am I doing in my life that I really love right now, right? So this can actually be an exercise. You just take a notepad and you write down, what are all the things that I'm currently doing that I really love? Like if I was to design my life, I would keep those on the list. And then looking and naming all the other things that you do that you don't love and checking in with how you feel when you do them. Because if you don't love them and you're doing them out of obligation, or you're doing them out of shame, or you're doing them out of not feeling worthy, your energy in your body is going to be really low. You're going to feel tired, lethargic, like it's an effort to put one foot in front of the other, or you'll feel frustrated or angry, like you don't have a choice, like this is just your lot in life. And all of those are very low vibrational frequencies. Our emotions carry an energy. So if we're stuck in shame or guilt or dogma, which is this is the only way it can be, dogmatic thinking, we are vibrating at a really low level. And that has an impact on how resourceful we are, the people that we meet, the experiences that we have. So we want to engage with things that we enjoy more so we can start to move out of that low vibrational state and start to move into more aliveness. Yeah.
And also questioning why you do these things. Like, why do I feel the need to go to a family dinner if you sit at the family dinner and you get made fun of or you get put down? Because you're going, I'm just saying 100%. As an example, that would then drop your energy for days. You feel like shit, you're going out of obligation, but it's not helping you in your life. Or maybe it's the friends you're hanging out with. So not only doing the life assessment, but also asking yourself, why am I doing these things? Why am I going to a gym that I don't like? It makes me feel insecure. I don't like the people. I don't like the crowd. So why are you going? Well, I'm locked into my contract. Things like that. Question why you're doing these things.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
So I did a session with you recently and you helped me realize the ways that I self-sabotage. And I self-sabotage quite a bit. So if this is resonating with our community at home, how can they start to realize their own blocks around self-sabotage?
So if you're looking for where you sabotage, you want to pay attention to what is an area that you say you want one thing and your behaviors and what you find yourself actually doing are the opposite? Like, I want to lose weight and feel amazing in my body. I want to feel fit and like at my best for my age, right? And you come home every night after work and you plonk yourself in front of the TV and you find yourself like halfway through a snack bar, or you're eating crisps, or you know, you're drinking alcohol every night. Those two things are not aligned. You are in full sabotage mode, right? So you want to look at the patterns that make you prolong actually stepping into doing the behaviors. And a piece that comes up here a lot is identity. So how we identify ourselves will often determine how we behave. So if we see ourselves, for example, if you have negative self-talk and you just see yourself as an overweight person who has no motivation, then you're going to behave that way, right? Whereas if you see yourself as a fit, healthy person who's on the road to being at their best, then you're going to behave that way. So we want to get in alignment with being the version of ourselves that already has the results.
Well, it's true. Our identity is what creates our habits, isn't it? And it just rolls
Absolutely.
On in that way. If all of this is resonating with our community, would you recommend people jumping in and do that life assessment?
Absolutely. A great place to start is just, what am I loving about my life currently? And what areas really don't feel good, either in my body or just at all? And so it's a beautiful place to start. And then from there, you can decide where you need help to move through it, or you can just make some different choices.
So now we're going to jump in to our listener questions. So the first one is, what is human design and what does it mean?
So human design essentially is an energetic reading of you when you were born, at the exact moment that you were born. And the benefits of understanding human design is it explains to you how to best work with your own energy. It tells you all your innate gifts and abilities, which is so beautiful and life-affirming to know. And it helps you understand how to bring your energy to the world so that other people can receive it in the most supportive and open way possible for you. So it's a really beautiful thing to work with if you're trying to understand how to work in with your life with more ease and flow.
100%. Since figuring out I'm a projector, which is my human design chart, and now I live my life as a projector, my life is so much better. My energy is better. Everything flows. Life's working for me, not against me.
Yeah. It's like a giant permission slip.
It is.
To be yourself. That's what's gorgeous.
Our last question is, what is the scale of consciousness?
So the scale of consciousness was mapped out by David Hawkins, who was a psychiatrist in the 70s. And it essentially comes from the experience that emotions have a vibration and they affect how our body, our energetic body functions. So he calibrated a whole series scale of emotions from 0 to 1,000 and discovered that anything over that calibrated using kinesiology over 250 allowed us to experience whatever we were doing while we were in that emotional state from a place of flow. And anything below that, which is the emotions of like dogma, shame, guilt, fear, anger, pride, we are in force, which means we are doing things from a difficult place. We're doing these things from a low energetic state, and we have to recruit more energy within our body to overcome the place that we currently are in order to have influence or any effect on our current situation. So it helps us understand that the emotional state has an effect on our body and our environment. And if we're able to raise it up to higher emotional states, things become easier. That's basically it in a nutshell.
And then you can also make choices based on if you are falling in to the lower vibrational states, what are the things that you're doing or the people you're hanging out with dragging you down on that scale?
100%. And what are the stories that you're telling yourself that keep you there?
We're now going to jump into our recommendations. This is what we're listening to, reading, and watching that our community at home would benefit from. So my first one on the topic of energy is a podcast which you were on. It's called Unmasked and Open-Hearted, Energy Work and Emotional Healing with Julianne Kelly. The book I'm recommending is Dr. Joe Dispenza, Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. All of his work is incredible around energetics and epigenetics. And for what I'm watching on Netflix or YouTube, I love Expanded by Lacey Phillips, How to Be Magnetic. That is her YouTube channel and it is incredible. Julianne, what are your recommendations?
So I rarely have one book on the go at a time. So I've got two. I tend to jump between books. So I'm reading Atlas of the Heart by Brené Brown, which is a beautiful way to understand the emotions, and Change Your Life by Zoe Bosco, who is actually a mentor of mine. So it's a beautiful book with really helpful little exercises. And I'm listening to everything by Aubrey Marcus, but one that I really love is Inhale Love and Exhale Pain with Lucas Mack and Hella Weston, which are a breathwork couple that I've done work with, and they're phenomenal. And Netflix, I love documentaries that help you feel inspired to overcome the limitations of your mind and your current thinking. And so the one that I have just adored recently is 14 Peaks. So this is about a guy who climbed the 14 highest peaks in the world in 7 months, and it had never even been done in 7 years previously. So he's just so inspiring, and it just shows you the power of intention and what we think. He's such an inspiring individual, so check that out.
Fantastic recommendations. Thank you so much. This episode is incredible. I honestly, I love your work and I cannot wait for our next session. You guys listening at home can find Julianne on Instagram at Julianne Kelly Wellbeing or her website, juliannekelly.com.au. She's doing 90-minute breakthrough sessions and she's also open for one-on-ones for kinesiology, emotional coaching, human design readings, and she's doing a 6-week align journey as well. All of her details and everything we've discussed today for the recommendations will be in the show notes. Thank you so much for coming in the Better For It studio.
Thanks, Amy and Kitty. So gorgeous to chat to you as always.
Better For It is presented by me, Katie Williams. Producer, Lindsay Green. Audio producer, Nikki Sitch. Executive producer, Nick McClure. Stay in touch with me and follow me on Instagram at Katie Williams.
Listener.